I'd like to call the meeting of the HTC Audit Committee to order. And the first item on the agenda is approve the minutes of December 12th, 2019.
So moved.
Second. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Next item is Rich Froelich to review the agenda item.
Thank you. Today is mostly about our financials and our audit. I'm going to let the news out early. It was good. We're very pleased, and so, but you'll hear a lot more detail about the success of the fiscal year and the reports that relate to it. So Kathy will lead with the annual financial report, then Lou will do the Ernst & Young audit report for your review. Then there'll be approval of the annual financial statements for fiscal year 2019. Then Ellen will do the presentation on the debt report, investment report. Mary will do the report on HTC's credit risk exposure. She will also then give you the annual audit committee report. It's also part of the PAAA process that will go over what the audit committee did in the last year for 2019. She'll also then go on to do internal audit reports. And finally, she'll present to you her proposed fiscal year 2020 audit schedule, internal audit schedule. Then Paul will provide a short summary about cybersecurity. We expect to go into greater detail when you have your next meeting, but this is just a little preview and give you a little bit of update about what we've been doing with cybersecurity issues. That's our agenda for today.
Okay, well, after reviewing the material yesterday, I'll repeat my suggestion of last year. We go an IPO. Okay, Kathleen?
Thanks, Howard. I'm pleased to report that 2019 was another exceptional year for the corporation. The financials of the corporation, as well as the strong leadership and hard work of a dedicated staff, are a strong measure of HTC's continued success. During fiscal year 2019, the corporation issued 27 new bond series totaling $2.2 billion. In addition, proceeds from debt obligations issued during the year amounted to $40 million. Total HTC assets were $21.5 billion, an increase of $2.1 billion, or almost 11% from fiscal year end 2018, due to the corporation's robust mortgage lending and bond financing activities throughout the year, as well as an increase in the HPD Section 661 grants, funds granted to HTC for making loans on HPD's behalf to developments that are also financed by HTC. Total liabilities were $18.4 billion, an increase of $1.9 billion, or 11.8% from 2018, as a result of the corporation's ongoing debt and lending activity. HTC's total net position at fiscal year-end was $3.13 billion, an increase of $300.5 million, or 10.61%. Of this amount, $258.8 million was generated from the corporation's normal operating activities, and $41.7 million were funds received from the 421A grant revenue program with the Battery Park City Authority. The increase in net position will allow the corporation to continue to play a critical role in the mayor's housing plan and provide subsidies to the affordable housing developments that we finance. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Mary John, our controller, and the HTC accounting staff, all of their hard work and dedication in producing the financial statements and footnotes, as well as working diligently with the new E&Y and Mitchell Titus teams in wrapping up another successful audit. We will walk you through the audit results, but if you have any questions, we'd be happy to discuss them with you.
Any questions? Yeah. Okay, the next item is the discussion of the E&Y audit report.
Thank you. Good morning. Great to be with you all here this morning. If I could turn your attention to page 3 of the audit results handout. Page 3 summarizes the deliverables and the services, so consistent with what I had presented back in December. We were engaged to perform audits of the corporation's financial statements, as well as the schedule of expenditures of federal awards, the schedule of investments. And then in conjunction with those audits, we also issue reports on internal controls in accordance with government auditing standards, as well as the controls over the compliance with the major federal programs that we audit. This year, we did not identify any management letter types of of issues. So we do issue what we call a no material weakness letter, which just is something to memorialize the fact that we did not identify any material weaknesses, and that gets imported into the Paris system. And lastly, we also issue our report on a compliance with the servicing requirements for the HPD loans, and there were no issues there. The next page is an executive summary, and at the time that this presentation was prepared, we were wrapping up our final reviews and still needed to obtain the signed management letter, but we did receive that, so there are no open items at this point. We are issuing unmodified opinions on all of the reports, which means they are clean opinions. Our scope of the audit was consistent with what we had presented back in December. We basically had a pretty much new team interacting with the corporation staff. So except for myself, the independent reviewer, and Vincent Halloran, we had an entirely new team interacting with the corporation, and we've actually increased our partnership with Mitchell & Titus. They've performed about 15% of the audit procedures, so they had three people working with us, pretty much an integrated team. I don't know if the authority realized who was with who, so they're really embedded into our team. So they were primarily responsible for the HPD loans, as well as the single audit report. Again, the results, we did not identify any issues or any weaknesses in internal control. All of the judgments used by management we agree with and are in accordance with government auditing standards. There were no corrected misstatements or uncorrected misstatements, so that means all of our procedures, we did not identify any audit adjustments. In our assessment of the various processes, we evaluate the controls as designed effectively, and we receive outstanding cooperation by the corporation. The next page lists out our areas of audit emphasis. I'm not going to go through the results of each one of these other than just to say we did not identify any issues. The areas that we list here are consistent with what our plan was. So again, kudos to the corporation and the staff for really doing an excellent job. Again, there's a lot of confirmations we go through. Again, with a new team, we're reevaluating the processes. So I know it's a little bit of pain for Mary and Chuck and some of the other stakeholders, but it's a thorough process, and it was really good and refreshing to have a new set of eyes on the processes. And if I could turn your attention to our required communications, that's on pages 7 and 8. As it relates to the corporation's ability to continue as a going concern, from Kathleen's presentation, as well as this presentation that we prepare each year, it's kind of a lot of charts and graphs summarizing the corporation's results of operations for like a 10-year period. You'll see that there's just a continued nice steady increase, nothing that is an outlier to cause any concern. Again, the accounting policies and the views of management are consistent with generally accepted accounting principles. Covered a few of these. As it relates to fraud and non-compliance with laws and regulations, we did not identify any instances of fraud or non-compliance with laws and regulations. EY does not perform any other types of services to the corporation, so there are no issues with independence matters. There were no changes to our terms of the audit, and there were no limitations on our scope. I know there's a question asked at our planning meeting, has management ever asked you not to look at anything? Just want to reassure you that there is no challenges or any pushback on what we audit. Next page, no findings related to any related parties, no significant difficulties encountered during the audit, no disagreements with management. We did not identify any areas where management consulted with other accountants or auditors with respect to accounting estimates. Again, I mentioned that there are a lot of confirmations for investments, debts, and loans receivables. None of them came back with any issues, so it's good to see that from a third party. The information is consistent. And lastly, just with the oversight of the financial reporting progress, this is a very lengthy financial statement. A lot of time goes into this, but you know, when I reviewed it and our independent reviewer reviewed it, we did not have any significant comments or changes. And as you can see, there's a lot of numbers in here and a lot of verbiage. So again, great job by Kathy, Mary, Chuck, and the rest of the team for putting this all together in such a timely manner so that we can be here to report on the results of the audit and issue the financial statements within that 90-day period. So that concludes my brief remarks, and I'd be happy to try and address any questions.
Are you the auditor to any of our borrowers or lenders? Yeah, or I guess the question, I'm sure you are, I guess the question is, what are the internal controls within Ernst & Young that you don't receive any pressure with respect to any of our...
Well, confidentiality is in our, you know, forefront. I've never been, no one from our real estate practice or any of my other audit partners have ever reached out to me for any other clients inquiring about HDC. But to the extent that they would, I mean, confidentiality is embedded in everything that we do and that trust. So as far as internal controls, we have a professional practice group. Again, with independence, we have a whole group that focuses on independence. So to the extent that there were to be any types of dialogue, we'd have to vet that. And also, we would just have a frank conversation with management. You know, would you have a problem if we answered a certain question? But that has never happened.
Regarding the Housing Authority, while the partnership between HDC and NYCHA is consistent, I think, with HDC's business, it's still new. And from an audit point of view, does it raise any questions or concerns to you about any line of work or any part of the financial partnership, because it's big, or at least potentially will be, and different, although, like I said, I think consistent with what the business of HTC is.
Yeah. Currently, we don't perform any services to NYCHA.
But from the vantage point of HDC position in deals,
yeah,
maybe it's really more, I'm trying to get an audit response, but it might have to come, it's more business.
Yeah, I mean, the question for audit would be, are we properly reflecting the numbers and the like, and the answer, you know, it's our traditional lending, and so in that sense, it probably is. On the risk perspective, and I think that's a different issue, on a credit risk question, and that we can have more discussions about that. As part of the process for preparing for the program, we did have extensive conversations with the rating agencies, and our credit risk folks participated in those conversations. So the bigger picture on the risk side is that we are a strong organization and can take a certain amount of measured risk as it relates to this. This is why when we presented the first transaction, we did have strong credit participation with Freddie. And we have a rich program to limit the amount of exposure. So I think we're taking that into consideration, but you're right, as it grows and we become a major player in that issue, we have to keep on revisiting that. I think on the audit side, I think, you know, we reflect the loans and stuff like that and the staffing and all the different things to be able to do the work that we're expected of us.
Just like any other loan, we would assess the collectability and the disclosures within the footnotes to make sure it's transparent.
I do agree that it goes back to this rating agency question, and if you'd like more information on that front, I think that would be, there was raised questions because we've had this consistent relationship with HPD and now have this different relationship, but very similar. because a lot of the history of this place has been so tied to the housing plan and HP, and now we're taking on a very large piece of mission directly to Deadwood. So it's a worthwhile conversation to have. And we'll do that.
Okay. And just add one other thing. It is an interesting point that, you know, we talk about the increase in net assets, and that's a great thing. And as you know, we tend to plow our net assets back towards more lending. As our credit changes, we may increase our reserves and other activities that are a part of that in order to be able to sort of have this balanced approach. And we continue to evaluate that in the context of our increasing loan.
Thank you.
You rotate the 3 years or 4 years?
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah, that's higher. That's in accordance with the public authorities. So, as you mentioned, Kyle, we're in our first year of the new contract, but during the term of this contract, I will have to rotate off, and we'll have a new partner.
The other thing that I just want to add to that is that when we went through the contract process last year, we were very conscious of that we had been working with ENY for a very long time. And what was particularly important, and which we reported to you, was that they were really looking at it from the perspective of different talent and different coverage. And we can speak to that, and Kathy and Mary and Chuck can speak to the fact that it was a very different team, and so that is important, and that was part of the proposal, so that there is that sort of change but continuity, and that the overall organization understands us, but at the same time, new eyes, fresh eyes.
Yeah, exactly right.
And does EY do any consulting in the other than just the audit?
Not for HDC, no.
That has come up in the past as well, and folks have tried to market, and it's a little bit tricky. We did have some different audit functionality with the computer systems a few years ago, where we did use EY, but it was consistent with the audit versus consulting.
That's becoming a thing now in the UK, that the auditor cannot do any other work other than audit. Do I have a motion to approve the annual financial statements for fiscal year 2019?
I move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That report.
Corporation's debt report is as of December 31st, 2019. Last debt report presented to the audit committee was as of October 31st, 2019. During this time, the corporation issued three series of open resolution bonds totaling $337.5 million and one finance with a federal financing bank in the amount of $65.6 million. The bond redemption of two series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $38.4 million and four standalone bond series in the amount of $63.3 million. Corporation's debt outstanding as of December 31st, 2019 is approximately $12.5 billion. The corporation's statutory debt capacity stands at $14.5 billion.
Are we going for an increase?
Probably another billion. But I think that we're looking for another billion.
Ellen, the investment report.
Sure. Corporation investment report is as of January 13, 2020. The funds under management total approximately $5.8 billion, and this report reflects routine investment activity.
Credit risk exposure, Mary.
The last report to the audit committee was dated October 31st, 2019, and the report reporting was dated December 31st. There weren't many changes since the last report. We added no new counterparties, and there were no rating agencies to report. Our largest exposures continue to be with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Investments rated AA or higher were 48% of total investments versus 49% of the last report, and the weighted average maturity was unchanged at 2.6 years. Finally, our exposure to liquidity providers was approximately 190
item is approval of the annual audit committee report for 2019.
Mary? Yep. pursuant to the New York City Comptroller's Directive Number 22, the audit committee is required to submit an annual report detailing its activities and decisions for the prior calendar year. Attached in your packet is a report consisting of a compilation of minutes from the audit committee meetings that occurred during the calendar year 2019. Your approval of this report is requested.
Yeah, do I have a motion to approve?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. You get to continue on the internal audit report.
There were two audits completed since the last report to the audit committee. The first I'll report on is the 2019 loan servicing revenue billing audit. Our objective there was to determine if adequate controls are in place and have been operating effectively for the revenue billing process. We determined that management has effective controls in place, and we noted no matters involving internal controls that were considered material weaknesses. We did make a couple of recommendations regarding the waiver of late fees and the securing of personally identifiable information. Turning to the report, you'll see that we examined various internal controls. The number of invoices is just over $1,000 per month, with the billing amount ranging between $35 and $45 million a month. The next audit completed was the 2019 income certification audit. There, our objective was to determine if adequate controls are in place and have been operating effectively for the income certification process. We determined that management has effective controls. They have effectively reviewed tenant applicant files and ensured that owners were complying with the program requirements pertaining to income certification. We noted no matters involving internal controls that were material weaknesses. We did make some recommendations regarding staffing and the protocols for securing PII. If you take a look at that report, you'll see that we examine various internal controls. The number of files that gets reviewed each year by our team has been escalating upwards over the last several years. Any questions on the audit?
The internal audit schedule.
Okay. In your packet is the proposed internal audit plan for 2020. After careful performance of the risk assessment process, which included ranking various areas of risk and conducting extensive discussions with management and the members of the audit committee, we have assembled a plan to perform 8 audits, 2 special projects, and outsource 2 specialized audits. And in response to one of the earlier questions, you'll see that we are being proactive in your concern on NYCHA. I think it was brought up in some of our discussions. We are taking a look at some of the capacity in our asset management area. And so that's being addressed. Concern regarding PII was brought up in discussions, and that's one of our special projects this year. And we're working closely with Paul and the IT team to develop a working group, identify areas of the corporation that have PII, ensure that we're securing the data, developing and implementing some protocols for securing that data corporate-wide, and training staff in identifying and securing PII. Other than that, you'll see that there are a lot of areas we've never looked at before that we're going to take a look at this year. We extend our thanks again to you for participating in those discussions, as well as the HDC staff for giving valuable participation and feedback in this year's risk assessment process. Are there any questions about the plan?
Any questions?
If none, your approval is requested.
Okay. Motion to approve the fiscal year 2020 internal audit schedule.
I move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Do we have any interaction at this point with the federal monitor?
We just met with them on Friday.
We met with them. It was almost incidentally in regard to we've been meeting a lot with NYCHA generally, and we requested a meeting to have a further conversation just in the interest of our partnership with them around how their budget process works. And so we went over there, and the monitor was part of that meeting. We also have scheduled for this week, the first time, at their request, they're undergoing a whole whole reorganizational process where they're looking at how they might reorganize themselves, and they have requested to meet with us. So the monitor is actually coming over with some of the folks we talked to at some point this week. So there is that kind of interaction. But it's really, it's not entirely substantive. They don't, at least in the first meeting, they didn't ask a lot of questions. It was kind of part of the discussion a little bit and listened more. But we'll see more in this next meeting. That's the extent of that relationship.
Okay, update on cybersecurity.
Thank you.
Not including Ukraine.
So we do have an active cybersecurity program, and over the last year we've completed a lot of projects. We have many more that are in progress. So what I want to highlight today is that in order to further advance the program, we engaged NICETEC, the New York State Technology Enterprise Corporation, that provides technology and security consulting primarily to public sector clients. They have a dedicated security team, and we have their consultant who's working with us conducted a compliance assessment using a national framework called the Cybersecurity Framework. It's published by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. This assessment will serve as a roadmap for us to prioritize our cybersecurity project and make sure that we're following the best industry best practices. As Rich mentioned, due to time constraints, we won't go into details this meeting, but it is on the agenda for the next meeting. And at that time, Jeff Pereira, our NICETEC consultant, who's been, conducted the assessment, will be here, and he'll present the assessment and discuss it.
Any questions?
Just a comment that the HTC list and sort of agencies, companies of this magnitude probably will figure out, well, it's an ongoing exercise, but we'll probably try at least keep up with all of the issues. Where there's big concern is in the industry, among the not-for-profits, CDCs, and others, where still a vast amount of money is moving from here to there, from list to there, and breaches that are occurring, because it's been discovered that money's moving. And so I worry as much about what happens on that side of the table and the ability for your average not-for-profit that might do business with a company who isn't protected, not even insured, can't keep up with state-of-the-art best practice. So it's probably something that as an industry, those of us who maybe have the ability to at least try to keep up should be doing something, at least training or something in support of those who probably can't. Because it's still, money's still moving from us to them.
Right, and I think that's, and sometimes the money's moving from them to us.
And then
that's sort of a tricky thing, and that's where we are perhaps in a better position. But I think you're right, and I think it's a fair point. And I think that we'll make sure that the 360 approach is part of what we're trying to do.
And the other thing I would say, we don't talk about now, but it would be good to hear as whatever they report out what we're doing. Because I think at Con Edison, we obviously spend a lot of time thinking about this more from an operational standpoint that someone would take over the electric or gas system. But there's also a tremendous amount of PII and money flowing. And we spend a lot of time drilling with the presumption that it's a dip. So the NIST framework is all about prevention and trying to make sure it doesn't happen. But I think it's also, as an organization, important to take on an approach of when it happens.
Right.
What are we going to do? So drilling what happens if we lose access to our financial transfer system. I think part of it's prevention, part of it is how we approach it if it happens.
As you mentioned, I mean, that is one of the sections in the NIST framework to have an incident response plan. So we can, so of those several plans, we scored higher on disaster recovery plans because they're due to our offsite data center. The incident response plan, we have informal procedures, but we need to formalize it. So there is work that we're going to focus on in that area.
Okay. Any other business? There being no other business, I would like to call for a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.